Hello, and welcome back to Cryptids, Folklore or More, a show where it's discussed whether cryptids are purely folklore or more. I'm sure we have been very missed since the last episode, had some personal stuff that came up and had to be dealt with, but that doesn't matter because today, the topic we have is very fun and one absolutely worthy of like a Hollywood movie, and one that is absolutely worth the wait between episodes. It's a tale surrounding a particular cryptid that combines Hollywood glitz, international travel, and the body part of a cryptid. Stick around to hear about a tale that sounds almost made up, revolving a famous A-list actor and their role in a plan to get away with covertly smuggling the finger of a Yeti out of Nepal. Before we get into all of that, let's quickly discuss the legend of the Yeti for those who are unaware. Megan, what has your research dug up about the backstory of this cryptid?
The name Yeti is thought to originate from the Sherpa word yete, meaning small man, while others suggest it came from mete, meaning bear. British explorers in the early 1900s called it Meteo Cogni, or man-bear-snowman, a mistranslation by a journalist who interpreted Meteo as filthy, eventually gave rise to the now famous title, the Abominable Snowman. The name stuck, and with it, the legend grew. The Yeti's origins trace back centuries, deeply rooted in the folklore of the Himalayan region. Long before the rise of Buddhism, stories circulated of massive, hair-covered beasts roaming the snowy peaks. Wild creatures feared, respected, and whispered about through generations. In the 20th century, this elusive figure captured imagination of Western explorers who ventured into mountains hoping to uncover the truth behind the legend. Descriptions of the Yeti portray a creature between 6 and 12 feet tall, walking upright with ape-like features and immense strength. Covered in thick, shaggy fur, ranging from dark brown to reddish brown, and weighing between 200 and 400 pounds, it is said to have a knife-like teeth and a physique built for survival in the extreme cold. Its powerful frame and hunched bipedal posture has matched by another signature trait, enormous footprints measuring 12 to 14 inches long, often found in the remote, snow-covered regions of the Himalayas. These tracks, bearing 5 clearly defined toes, have baffled climbers and locals alike, fueling theories that the creature has evolved to endure the harsh climate. Despite its intimidating presence, the Yeti is known for elusiveness, avoiding human contact, and vanishing into the wilderness without a trace. One of the earliest recorded mentions of the Yeti dates to 326 BCE, when Alexander the Great reportedly heard tales of strange, hairy beasts during the conquest of the Indus Valley. Though intrigued, he was warned by locals that such creatures could not survive in lower altitudes, and thus never witnessed them firsthand. The Western world's first documented encounter came in 1832 when British official Brian Boyton Hodgson reported hearing accounts from hunters in Nepal who described wild men covered in hair, walking upright, and lacking tails, possibly mistaking the creature for an orangutan. Throughout the 19th and 20th centuries, the Yeti would become much more well-known among the Western world due to explorers visiting the region and hearing about local tales and sightings. In 1951, interest would explode when three photographers from the region of supposed Yeti footprints emerged. These were taken by Eric Shipta, a mountaineer, and depicted footprints far too massive to belong to any human.
With this explosion of interest in the Yeti in the 1950s, the stage is set for the story that is the focus of this episode. In 1957, stories would start making their way through the grapevine of a Buddhist monastery located in Pongboksh, a small village located high up in the Himalayas. This monastery was said to have in its possession the hand of a Yeti. For context, the legend of the Yeti is taken very seriously by locals within the Himalayan region. The hand's possession supposedly happened due to one of the members of the monastery having befriended a Yeti when traveling to a cave in the mountain to meditate. Supposedly, the Yeti even became one of his disciples in practicing Buddhism. This relationship went on until the day that the Yeti died, and its hand as well as its scalp were taken to be stored within the monastery. Depictions of the hand describe it and show it as looking like a large human hand covered in crusted black and broken skin. A physical piece of cryptid evidence such as this is certainly very intriguing and would be huge for the field of cryptozoology. Some other people certainly thought so as well. Thomas Slick was an American adventurer and oil businessman who heard about the story during expeditions to the Himalayas in the late 1950s. On one of these trips, he even captured a black and white photograph of the hand, which one can find with a Google search today. But a simple photo was not enough for him. Slick thought the bone fragments of the hand were too fascinating to be kept only within the confines of a Himalayan monastery, and began hatching a planned heist to smuggle the hand pieces out of the country. Slick gathered some more intelligence and brought together some individuals from his wide network to partake in smuggling at least a piece of the hand out of the monastery for study. In 1959, one of Slick's associates, a man named Peter Byrne, stole a finger of the hand by taking it and replacing the displayed finger with a human finger, all Indiana Jones style, to avoid discovery of the theft. The piece was then successfully smuggled out of Nepal into India, where the plan's next actor would pick up their role. And it was a very surprising actor, because in this case, it really is an actor. James Stewart, who many may recognize from such classic films as It's a Wonderful Life, Vertigo, Rear Window, and many other timeless films, James was brought into the plan due to the convenient timing of having a holiday trip planned in Nepal at the time with his wife Gloria. His role in the plan was to smuggle the Yeti piece from Nepal and get it to London while avoiding the items from being seized by custom enforcement officers. In order to do this, James Stewart hid the piece among his wife's undergarments and banked on the presumption that the customs agents would be less on guard around a celebrity such as himself and wouldn't be nosy enough to go among a lady's privates in her suitcase. Fortunately for him, the plan worked and the finger was successfully smuggled out of Nepal and marked the end of a very bizarre chapter in his career. So, with the plan having been successfully accomplished and the finger being in London, what happened from there? Did scientists study the fragment and once and for all prove to the world that some undocumented species of ape men are roaming in the Himalayan mountains? Once the piece made its way back to London, it was provided to a primatologist professor named William Osmond Hill, who studied its DNA. Analysis found it to contain human DNA. Later DNA tests would also go on to conclude that the finger contained human DNA, with the most recent test being done all the way in 2011, taking into account all the big advancements done in DNA analysis since the 1950s. The rest of the hand would unfortunately be stolen from the monastery in the 1990s and is missing to this day, with only the smuggled finger being the only real fragment left of it. It's likely made its way into the hidden underworld of smuggled artifacts at this point, but may turn up again one day. So what does this mean when it comes to the Yeti? Why did it contain human DNA? Well, one can come up with a few theories. I'm sure many were disappointed at the eventual reveal of the hand containing human DNA, as there was likely much anticipation of the results unequivocally demonstrating it to be of an unknown and undocumented creature. Many would likely jump to the conclusion that the whole thing was a hoax manufactured by the monastery as a publicity stunt to drive up tourism, as they did collect fees from visitors for years who wanted to see the hand for themselves. This is certainly possible, but what other possibilities exist? This theory is definitely one that is valid, but there is also another possibility that perhaps the Yeti's true nature isn't exactly what some people believe it to be. Some proponents of the Yeti myth suggest that the creature might be a hybrid of some sort, or a relic hominin species that coexisted with early humans. In this case, the hand could be from an undiscovered species related to humans, like Homo sapiens' extinct relatives like Neanderthals. DNA evidence of extinct hominins like Neanderthals and Denisovans have been found in some modern human genomes. It's conceivable that the hand could come from an ancient relative of humans, although there's no direct evidence to support the existence of such a species in the Himalayan region. Maybe Yeti's possible human nature means it's very proficient in hiding its existence from the outside world. Another proposed explanation for the Yeti is the misidentification of other Himalayan wildlife through, though that would not be relevant towards explaining why the Pong Bosch hand contains human DNA. So, how would we rate the Yeti on the believability scale? I think it's about as believable as any other cryptids we've mentioned on this show before, such as Skunk Ape or the Bigfoot, with little in the way of conclusive evidence. But I do think that there's some grains of truth in the story of cryptids such as these. If you go back long enough in human history, there were points where modern humans were competing with proto-humans such as Neanderthals for resources. And during those times, it's possible that the legends of these other types of humans might have been passed down through the generations, even though those proto-humans had died out. So, how would we rate the Yeti on the believability scale? I think it's about as believable as any other cryptids we've mentioned on this show before, such as Skunk Ape or the Bigfoot, with little in the way of conclusive evidence. But I do think that there's some grains of truth in the story of cryptids such as these. If you go back long enough in human history, there were points where modern humans were competing with proto-humans such as Neanderthals for resources. And during those times, it's possible that the legends of these other types of humans might have been passed down through the generations, even though those proto-humans had died out. This could explain why legends of creatures like the Yeti still go strong up until modern history. This whole story was very fascinating, especially because it involved a physical piece of evidence for a cryptid, such as the Pong Bosch hand, even though it ended up having human DNA. We can't say entirely for sure what its nature was. If the Yeti were out there, they would have had to have adapted to the very treacherous terrain and blisteringly cold conditions, which could make it potentially easy for them to avoid the prying eyes of civilization. One thing is also for sure, Hollywood could probably make a pretty fun little heist movie out of the entire story revolving around the smuggling of the Yeti finger from Nepal all the way to London. Who would you fan cast as actor James Stewart? Well, that marks the end of another episode of Cryptids, Folklore, or More. You can always email us at cryptidsfolkloreormore@gmail.com, that's all one word, or reach us on our Facebook page, which is the title of the podcast. Thank you for listening, and unlike cryptids, don't stay hidden. Till next time.